Carroll bringing it forward. Thompson's making the run. Carroll hangs on to it though. Still David Carroll. Could go all the way here.
Hello, I'm Phil Catchpole and welcome to this week's Ringing the Blues, the official Wycombe Wanderers podcast. On the show this week, we have all the action and reaction from the trip to Shrewsbury Town in League One, plus Wycombe Wanderers fan Dan Clark joins us for Till Death Us Do Part. But first, let's head to Mexico City for the full Liga Juan results with Uri.
We are ringing the blues from Mexico City. It's me, Uri, and here are the results for League One. Barnsley 2, Reading 2, Bolton Wanderers 1, Portsmouth 1, Cambridge United 1, Charlton Athletic 1, Carlisle United 0, Blackpool 1, Cheltenham Town 1, Bristol Rovers 3, Derby County 3, Leyton Orient 0, Fleetwood Town 2, Northampton Town 0, Lincoln City 1, Wigan Athletic 2, Oxford United 5, Peterborough United 0, Port Vale 2, Exeter City 4, Shrewsbury Town 0, Wycombe Wanderers 2, Stevenage 1, Burton Albion 2. So Shrewsbury Town defender Tom Flanagan was sent off in the second half because of a reckless red card. So Cherboy Spanish this week, a reckless red card. So how do we say red? Well, you should know by now. Red, rojo, from the Latin rubrum, like ruby. And card, tarjeta o carta. So red card, tarjeta roja. How do we say reckless? We say temerario, from the Latin temere, or to be afraid. But to not be afraid is to be reckless. So, a reckless red card is una tarjeta roja temeraria. So, that's it for this week, and back to Ingerland with my amigo Filiberto Cachapollos. Until next week, adiós.
Cheers, Uri. Right then, Wycombe Wanderers travelled to Shropshire to take on Shrewsbury Town and build on the impressive performance against high-flying Derby County a few days earlier. Here's what happened. McCleary putting pressure on Flanagan. Ball goes up to Udo in the centre circle. Good tackle by Farino. Here's Kone. Kone dinks it wide to McCleary. McCleary with a nice back heel looking for the run of McCarthy, but well read by Flanagan, who brings it out of defence.
Red card.
Referee's going into his pocket on Flanagan.
That was awful.
Flanagan threw himself into the tackle. Referee was fumbling in his pocket. Still haven't seen the result of that. And Flanagan is off. No complaints there from his teammates. Flanagan on Joe Lowe. Wild, reckless, unnecessary, and it's a red card. Fifth red of the season for Martin Woods, but he had no option there at all, did he?
No, none at all. As soon as you see it, you know it's a red.
That'd be one hell of a finish there. We can now take it to Potts. Potts to Butcher, leaves it to Leahy. Yes! Luke Leahy doesn't celebrate against his former club, but he's just scored his ninth goal of the season. Left-footed from a well-worked routine into the bottom corner past Marco Morosi, and Wycombe Wanderers have the lead in the 82nd minute. Luke Leahy stroking the ball home in his 50th appearance for Wycombe Wanderers. What a finish that was. McCarthy, Joe Low, Butcher, McCarthy. Wickham just keeping possession now with the lead as we approach the 90th minute. Kone tries to get through Dunkley, runs into Dunkley's foot, unfortunately, as he did the little give and go pass. No foul. Dunkley does well, but Farino, he's been a monster at the back for Wickham today. That's a good interception and an even better pass to McCleary. McCleary, first time to Kone!
Yes!
Oh, yes! Wickham Wanderers have doubled the lead. Richard Kone points to Gareth McCleary and says, thanks very much. The buffet ball from the right wing, gobbled up by Richard Kone. It's Shrewsbury Town 0, Wickham Wanderers 2. And there's an exodus going on here at the New Meadow.
Gaffer, a 2-0 win in a windy day.
Yeah, a windy day. I thought a fairly scrappy game, if I'm honest. The pitch was playing quite slow. You know, it's been a long week for us, a long emotional week, and I just felt like we lacked a slight edge to us at times. The game maybe didn't help in the manner in which it was played, but yeah, really, really fulfilling feeling to get a win at the end of what's been a very good week for us.
The game needed something to spark it off, a goal or an incident, and it was a red card in the end that really brought it to life.
Yeah, I thought we played some good stuff at times, our rotations, the way we were trying to pass. I thought we worked well at times, but it just with that final touch, then the sending off happened, and sparked the game into life a little bit, didn't it? I thought we took the two goals extremely well, very fitting, I guess, for Lukey. Always going to happen, wasn't it? We made him captain today because, you know, he put so much into our football club in terms of his performances, his personality, his character. Made his 500th appearance on Wednesday evening, and coming back today, it just felt the right thing for him to lead us out. So for him to score a goal as well, I know how fondly he remembers his time here at Shrewsbury and the way he conducts himself. And the second goal, lovely pass from Chrissy through the lines. Assist for G-Mac and goal for Rich. So, yeah, the game spiked into life and we're really pleased to come away with another clean sheet and two goals.
It's the goal that Richard Kone's performances have deserved, hasn't it?
Yeah, I actually think he's got a knack of being in the right place at the right time. He hasn't done that recently as much as we believe he will, but he's learning. He's had a huge step up in terms of level and his performance has been very, very good. So it was nice for him to come on today and give us a bit of an edge and get his goal.
As well as with the goalkeeper situation, we've had a goalkeeper go out on loan today on emergency loan. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we got approached by Crewe late Thursday afternoon. I was at home and had a phone call from Max's agent and from Lee Bell, the Crewe manager, who I know from my time at Colchester last season. So asked if they could take Maxi. Had two injuries to their two goalkeepers. Asked if Maxi could go on loan for emergency loan for a week, which I agreed to because, you know, I think a lot of Maxi, and he's obviously frustrated at the moment that he's not playing, and understandably so. Franco was going to play today. We've got Shepherd's cover, so it seemed the right thing for Franco to play today and for allow Maxi to go and get a game.
A win-win situation for Wickham because he'll get game time and keep sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we ran the risk that something happened to Franco early on in the game today and Maxi could have come on, but we think a lot of Shep. He's trained incredibly well since he's been in the building, and we brought him in when Maxi got sent off at Stevenage to be that cover, and like I say, he's hasn't done anything wrong in training, so we trust Shep should the need come on the pitch. And it allowed Max to go and get 90 minutes and go get real game time, which we thought would, for all parties, just was a win-win.
Part one of the four away trips is done and complete. 3 points on the board. Port Vale on Tuesday. Is the goal now to get above that halfway point into the top half?
Yeah, you keep asking me about my goals and I keep refusing to answer the question. I just want to keep picking up points, mate. There's nothing better on a Saturday or Tuesday than the winning games, picking up points, you know. And we've been in decent form recently. There's loads more we want to improve on today. There was some real good bits on Wednesday evening and last Sunday. Some more good bits again today. We've been able to utilise nearly the whole squad. Everyone will play between now and the end of the season because, you know, it's not just the physical output, it's the emotional output as well. If you keep raising yourself for 90 minutes, we're playing against teams who aren't playing as many games at the minute as what we have, and we have to make sure that we have, you know, to play the way we want to play, we have to have maximum energy. So there'll be rotations and movement in the team again on Tuesday evening. We've picked up a couple of knocks today, so we'll see how the boys are, and look to go and play again with energy against a Port Vale team that's fighting for their lives. So that'll be a real tough game for us, so we've got to make sure that we go there and we have the energy to go and to run and hopefully, you know, perform in the way we believe we can.
It's going to be a cauldron-like atmosphere. Like you say, they were deep in trouble, Port Vale, and they're desperate for the points. But As are you, by the sound of it.
Yeah, too right, mate. yeah, like, you know, Darren's obviously an incredible manager who's been around for a number of years and knows the game inside out, as is Paul today. And Paul on Wednesday evening and Darren last Saturday, you know, Sunday, I'm really fortunate to come up and be able to have some time with these guys and discuss stuff with them. But, you know, I want to pick up more points. I want to keep building what we're doing. As a group, we believe in where we're going. And the only way to keep doing that is to keep picking up points.
Well, it's windy here in Shrewsbury. It's always cold on a Tuesday night in Stoke, I'm told. So I'll see you there.
Looking forward to it. Top man. Cheers.
Luke, thanks for making the time for us. You seem to be quite popular around these parts.
No, yeah, I know. I know we're joking, but I love my time here. It's great to see some people that I ain't seen for a year. So yeah, just happy to be back, and you know, more than happy with the win as well.
I joked with you before kickoff. As I'll see you after the game after you've scored a goal.
Yeah,
and you did, and a cracking goal too.
No, I kept my promise to you, didn't I? Just seeing a bit of space on the edge of the box. We tried a free kick that I think got blocked and the referee pulled it back. So, thankfully, Botsy played it, but stepped over it and it hit the back of the net.
Looked to be tricky conditions out there today. The wind perhaps spoiling it a bit?
Yeah, first half it was sort of in our faces, so we couldn't sort of get in behind them. And then I think even second half, you know, we thought, right, we'll have the wind. And, you know, the wind just turned around in their favour again. But yeah, I thought we were good today. You know, there was stages where we could have been a lot crisper in our play, but... You know, we've had, what, 3 games in 6 days. So to come here, away performance, 2 goals and a clean sheet, you know, everyone's happy.
And a lovely goal for Richard Kone too, and deserved with his recent performances.
Definitely, you know, I think even, you know, the start last Sunday, he was really good for us. And then on Wednesday as well. And, you know, to come here, put himself about, got his body in, and he deserved his goal.
We've got a few games left to go now. You're on 9 league goals for the season. Can you get double figures?
Am I?
League goals.
Oh, league goals. Sorry, yeah. How many is Dalo on?
League goals is on, I think, 5 or 6. Maybe.
He's all right then, that'll be fine. Yeah, no, look, I want 10, so I'll do my best to get 10.
More important to get 10 or more important to get more than Dale Taylor?
I'm not worrying about Dale Taylor.
We got some 3 more away games off the back of this. It's 4 away games in a row, which is kind of insane. Lots of mileage. Yeah. So lots of fun and games on the team bus, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a laugh on the bus. And so, yeah, 3 away games. And I think like, the last 2 away games point at Blackpool and 3 points today. So hopefully we can carry that away form going into a busy week next week.
And how important is it to go into the summer with some momentum?
Yeah, definitely. I think momentum, performances going into the summer, you know, give the manager some decisions to make even for next season. So, you know, results like that and performances like that, you know, will be... You know, we'll look forward to it.
And finally, a word for the fans today. You scored the goal right in front of them as well, which is very good of you to do that. Word for the fans?
Yeah, you know, to travel Sunday and then to come and get out Wednesday and then to come here again today, it's, you know, we don't take it for granted. And, you know, it was a nice little moment after the game with them. And, you know, we've sent them home very happy.
OK, I think there's one person over there you haven't spoken to today, so we'll let you go and finish that.
That's Seth.
Yeah. But, yeah, good to see how popular you are here, mate.
Thank you. Cheers, man.
Rich, 3 points for the chair boys and a goal for yourself. A good day.
Yeah. Been really good today. The boys have been fighting since the first half. And we've seen that they have some weaknesses as well. So when I came on, I just trying to do my best. And obviously, we got 2 goals and the win. So really happy.
And you won the free kick from the first goal too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good battle down there. Because I've seen they were a bit high sometimes, so I just make a run down the line and try and do what I do best, and yeah, won the free kick.
You look like you're really enjoying your time here at Wycombe Wanderers in League One.
Yeah, I do. It's really a good experience for me, and like be from non-league to this league is a like long jump, but I think I'm starting to get used to it now, so I'm all happy.
You're certainly not overawed by the physical side of the game as well here. Is that something you've really developed in non-league?
Yeah, pretty strong centre-back in non-league. So I think that helped me as well. I'm really grateful for that. If I've started, like, say, playing in the academy, I don't think I would have done well. So I'm really happy that I've been there for that amount of time and, yeah, do what I've learned there. bringing into League One, so I'm really happy.
Yeah. At the start of the season, did you think you'd be playing at Wembley Stadium as well?
Nah, that's if someone had told me that, I'd like say nah, it's not true. But you know, everything happened for a reason, and yeah, I really enjoy it. It was a big moment for me, and I think that will stay with me. And, you don't get to play every time at Wembley, so yeah, it was good. It was good, really good experience for my half season, isn't it?
And back to today, Gareth McCleary, formerly of the Premier League, putting the ball on a plate for you as well. It must be great to have players like G-Mac on your side.
Yeah, like players like G-Mac, Lukey and Voxy. You every day you train with them, you learn from them as well. Like big players. So take all the advice that they can give to you and apply in the game. And yeah, I've seen him run, so I knew he was going to pass it. So just stay in the box and just a simple tap in.
You seem fearless as well out there. Is that right to say?
Yeah. Obviously, I've been playing non-league. I thought it was going to be hard. But when you're confident and you know what you're capable of, you can do everything. As long as you believe in yourself as well. And your physical ability, technical, everything will come down. Like, yeah, I'm really happy, man.
And what's the biggest thing you've learned in this short spell at Wickham so far?
I think being with the first team as well, like, is a good mixture. It's not like you train, you just stay with like kind of reserve or stuff. You're consistently training the first team, learning from the players, old players, new players. So I think I've developed a lot in terms of all the play, finishing as well. That a non-league, I have to have two or three touches, but since I've been here working on my finishing and like now it's fluid now, first time finish, and yeah, but there's still loads of work to do, so yeah, I'm really happy.
Goal in front of the travelling fans as well, and they've taken you into their hearts.
yeah, they're always there, always supporting the team, and yeah, you need to have that kind of fans always, every time behind you to push you when it's hard as well. They're there as well, singing, pushing you forward. So, yeah, it's really good to have them with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to watch you play. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Shrewsbury Town fans left looking nervously over their shoulders after that defeat at Wycombe Wanderers at the New Meadow on Saturday. As you can understand, their fans weren't overly impressed with the home team's performance. Hear their thoughts now on the opposition view. Puri was free.
A shocking performance from Town today. I rarely agree with booing, but today the players deserved it. Totally unacceptable display from a group of players who've probably realised that they won't be here next season. Leahy showed his class by not celebrating and going around the ground clapping the home crowd at full time.
Camden, true.
Wickham were very ordinary, but that's all they had to be. Leahy scoring just rubs salt into the wound. We were terrible, and now are reduced to hoping there are four worse teams than us.
Stuttgart, true.
That was a nice and simple, well-worked free kick from Wickham. But we really should have been equal to it. Leahy had loads of time and space to pick his spot. I really don't think it was that bad a performance from us. Before the red card, it was pretty even, with not a lot going on from either side.
Pilch.
Nice one, Flanagan. Cries wolf about getting a bad tackle himself, and then immediately decides he's going to take someone out himself. Gets himself an early holiday and sits out the last three games to ensure he's available for his new club next season. Unprofessional as ever. Now, sod off and get out of our club.
Shrews, Wolf.
Oh, that was embarrassing. Even at 0-0. We can cling to the fact that they hadn't even tested Morosi, but the fact is, we were miles off it. The terrible standard of football is bad enough, but when you combine it with a knackered Wickham and a Salop side not showing any desire, it really does become pointless even being here.
Salopia.
I haven't been that angry at a game for a long time. Wickham were there for the taking. On the beach is an understatement. Yes, the red card didn't help us, but it was a stupid challenge, and I hope I never see that prat in a Salop shirt ever again. Thankfully, Exeter got us out of jail massively, and we're probably going to survive because of that result. Thanks, Grecians.
Zen football.
Too many players just didn't turn up today. From the lack of interest and number of players either jogging or walking, you would think we're safely mid-table with nothing to play for. Wickham were average, but Town were just dire. It was a stupid, unnecessary challenge for the red card, and really frustrating that Wickham scored from a free kick they were allowed to retake.
North West Man.
Let's face it, we're relying on Cheltenham and Vale, both of whom seem to be absolutely dire, fortunately, not to reach 46 points. I doubt our lot are capable of getting another point this season. Massive clear out required before next season. Oh, and not happy with Vale playing Wickham on Tuesday either. That will be Wickham's fourth game in 9 days.
Stafford Shrew.
When Lee left, there were some who questioned what he did for us. Oh, well, that question has been answered this afternoon. If he was still here, we would be a lot higher up the table. He still hasn't really been replaced.
London Shrew.
Man alive. Let's be brutally honest. That was poor. It's got to the stage where I'd rather give my money to a donkey sanctuary than watch that lot.
Mr. Cricket.
That was a touch of class from McCleary and Luke Leahy, holding off from taking a corner and clapping for Marvin McCoy on 41 minutes. Apart from that, I've got nothing else to say, except what a plonker you are, Flanagan.
Okay, it's that time of the show, Till Death Us Do Part. Your football club is like a marriage. They're with you for life. It could be the bane of your life at times, but it can also be the most wonderful thing in the world. And we get to talk to Wickham Wanderers fans about why they're Wickham fans and also their favourite memories. And this week is Dan Clark, a great Wickham fan, and I'm sure has got wonderful memories. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. That's a hell of an accolade for me, thank you very much. But yeah, great Wickham fan, love it.
Well, I've set the bar really high now, mate. So it's up to you to kind of keep that up, okay?
Pressure's on.
First and foremost, why Wickham Wanderers? How did you become a Wickham Wanderers fan and when?
God. So my great-grandfather's played for Wickham in the 1910s and 20s, and I've got their medals all upstairs and things like that. So that's pretty cool. My mum's from Wickham. And back in the 90s, when the Martin O'Neill days, glory days were going on, my dad was part of the match day operations team. So when Martin had his driving ban, my dad would drive Martin O'Neill around and everything else. And every Saturday he'd go off and he'd do various stuff behind the scenes. So he was Bluey the Swan. I think that famous photo of Bluey is actually him in tights, which, probably explains why it smells so bad. I was really keen to go. So like I'd be at my nan's house watching the teletext go over and find out what the scores were. And I kept bugging him to go. And eventually back in, January 97, he took me to Wickham versus York. And that's when Paul Reid got to. Paul Reid of Arsenal. So, yeah, went on from there, really. So my Saturdays were really frustrating the finance team, Trixie and Rose in the back, with Mark Austin and Charles, and the whole group of people got to put programs in the boxes on the Saturday. And
I never knew any of this about you, Dan. This is fascinating. So there's a lot to unpack here. So your dad basically was looking after Martin O'Neill for a bit and then became Bluey the Swan. I mean, these are two sort of pretty pivotal roles in the club's history.
Yeah, he did loads of stuff. He had the old Wickham tie on and everything, and he'd be going around the different bars and the Veer and everything. So I kind of got shipped responsibility from people to people while he got to do what he got to do. But then I started, as I got older through the years, I started helping out as well. I've actually got, and I'll show you, I've got a little scar on my little finger.
Yeah.
Where I took half of it off, going just into the Veer on the Yale lock, closed on my finger and took part of my finger off. So that's I've actually got a Wickham Wanderers scar.
That's a badge of honour.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a nice little remembrance of who I support.
I mean, I don't want to do down the cleaning regime at Adams Park. It's probably still there, isn't it?
God, I hope not. I'm sure it isn't.
There should be a plaque up there, definitely, of some description. And seeing your dad in tights in any situation, I guess, is probably quite a challenging thing, no matter what age you are.
I've tried to repress the memories, but they're still there. I mean, that picture itself kind of is a long living memory. The worst thing about it is actually he's a Sunderland fan as well. So he's kind of, in his older years, he's pushed away from Wickham entirely, and he's now followed Sunderland around the country. And I don't know why. I can't really understand why, but
I think him. As much as I love Bodger, Bluey the Swan is my favourite iteration of our mascot. Same. Because, you know, he's just a big, massive swan, isn't he? Which I'd imagine if you're a toddler, it'd be absolutely terrifying. But then, it's just a big, fat swan. And who doesn't love that?
It's more the fact of how rotund it was as well. That's what I loved. It's just, it was a huge swan. And the fact, I always thought it was fantastic how they put the shirts on it as well. Because obviously there were some very custom made shirts in order to get them on Bluey, considering the size. So quite like that.
I mean, I might need to ask your dad about this, but and his mascot sort of role may have predated this. But one of my favorite things on Twitter is mascots observing minute silences, and I'd love to speak to him about whether he's had to do that, because the swan lends itself beautifully to the swan because it's got a neck to bow, whereas if you're sort
it's
of
very
like
solemn.
Exactly, whereas if you're like some sort of weird sort of animal with a massive smile on your face, very difficult to pay respects in that manner.
You can pay respects with the swan, can't you?
Absolutely.
Just depends on how far you can bow the head. I think that's the question.
Well, we need to get your dad on to discuss this. Maybe there's a whole feature on mascots minute silences. We'll get your dad on. Right, let's crack on with the feature. So we start off with something old. We've already spoken about some wonderful memories. What's your favourite ever Wickham Wanderers memory?
I really racked my brains for this because I think everyone does Leicester and Torquay and Lincoln, 98 and all those fantastic times. And I spoke around with my friends around this, and we're kind of saying it's more so what kind of does it for you on a personal level. So that's what I've gone for. And actually, it is 17 years ago. Is it 17? No, 27 years ago. 97. That's about that. That's about right.
Yes.
To this day, and it was Burnley 5-0 win on a Tuesday night. That was my first ever Tuesday night game.
Wow.
I'd experienced Saturdays all the way through. And as I say, I bugged my dad to take me down on a Tuesday night. And I think there's always something special about Adams Park under the lights. And obviously Burnley were high flying at that time as well. They were going for playoffs. I think they finished 10th in the end. And we were kind of fighting for our lives at relegation as we were kind of around that time. I mean, Brian Parkin was playing, so that was a surprise that he kept a clean sheet, but that was good.
That in itself is a red letter day, yeah. So
I know. I think that's a momentous occasion for a memory in itself. So, but you know, when you've got players like Dave Carroll, Keith Scott, Mark Stallard, Steve McGavin, you know, those are the good times that we all remember and recall. And I think, you know, that kind of really pushed my love for night games and things like that in. So that's my favourite memory. I always think back to that 5-0, because it was such a surprise with it being Burnley, and especially seeing how they do now. It's a nice one.
Burnley as well, look where they are now. One of my favourite ever memories, it also involves Burnley, but not a 5-0 win. I can't even remember what the score was, but it was when Simon Garner came out at half-time to do the half-time draw and flicked the Vs at the Burnley fans as a Blackburn legend and nearly created a riot. Adams Park. So that's my favourite memory involving Wickham and Burnley.
We've got, do you know what? We've got some right odd links with Blackburn, haven't we? Like,
yeah,
kind of inconspicuously with Garner and Gaz as well. It's, yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, but we've only played them a few times, haven't we? So it's,
maybe
we should link up with them a bit more.
Absolutely. Well, we might see them next season. It's looking a little precarious down the bottom of the championship, so we never know. So that's a great start. A 5-0 win under the lights. Can't beat it. We're on to something new, bringing it to the modern day. Your favourite player in the Wycombe Wanderers squad?
Everyone's got to go with your prerequisites of Josh Scowen and what have you. But my favourite this season, purely for leadership, behaviour, attitude, everything alone, is Jack Grimmer.
Yeah.
To have that kind of injury that he had at the start of the season, and obviously, look, he was brilliant on the co-coms with you throughout when he was injured. But to come back, show the right attitudes, become captain in the squad, lead the team the way he has, and grow into that level from, you know, someone in his mid-20s up to his late 20s now. I just think, you know, what a great journey. And it just demonstrates how good this club is in building character as well as footballers. And for me, he encapsulates that totally. And I just think he's had a cracking season, and I'm really pleased to see how well he's doing.
He's second longest serving player in the squad as well now. So he's kind of got that sort of leadership thing now ingrained in him. I don't know if we still have the general system. If it probably exists, but maybe called something else now. But he certainly is a general, isn't he?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, that's the kind of character you want in the club. I just think it's so nice to have players like that still around. And, you know, you worried a bit with Bio and Gaz kind of moving on and things like that maybe we'd lose that a bit. But obviously, you know, he's continued that for the long haul, and it's just really nice to see. So yeah, he's my pick for something new.
Oh, brilliant. And also on the commentary, he's got that amazing ability of being, it's almost that Lampardian. He can do something very serious, very insightful into the game, and then the next minute you can be having a fantastic laugh of him. He's got that ability just to switch.
Well, you can tell that's how he is in the changing room as well. That's what I quite like. Because, you know, you always hear that he's quite, you know, he's very much like that. Whereas you've got David Wheeler, who's apparently very, very serious, I've heard. So, yeah.
No comment.
Don't want to face him on that one. Yeah.
And one of the great things about the cup run we had this year was the kind of reminded me a little bit of the pandemic era, because you can hear what all the players are shouting and saying to each other. And Jack Grimmer is essentially just sort of communicating with dogs at that level, because it's the highest pitched scream I've ever heard in my life.
I think we've had first contact with aliens because of his high pitched voice, to be honest. I think if they do land anywhere, it probably will be Scotland with how high pitched they all go up there. But it's always the way with Jack, is it? No matter what, you can always hear him. I remember when we went to Barnsley away when we won 3-0 and Dom Gape scored the absolute worldie. It's just that little bit, and you always watch it on the video whenever it pops up again on the replays. You just hear Jack shout at him to square it to him, and then Dom just blasts it in. It always makes me laugh.
He introduced the Tunnocks wafer into the commentary box. I've since found a dark chocolate version of it, which has now given us a bit of an option. Milk chocolate Tunnock wafer or dark chocolate Tunnock wafer, Dan? Where do you sit on that one?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm partial to me dark chocolate, you say. Mm. But I do love a Tunnocks. I think it's quality, whatever one you choose. But it's a good addition to the pundit box, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I'm on the side of the dark chocolate. Although at Blackpool, we did find a giant version in the press box at Blackpool. They're giving them out. I've never seen them before. I'm not sure if they were official or what. But yeah, so it's a growing trend. And you know, if anyone from Tunnocks is listening, and there's no good reason why they shouldn't be, we are looking for sponsorship. So you know, the Tunnocks.
Just about to say exactly the same thing. I would not mind if that was our sponsorship for next season. I'd be very happy with that, and I think imagine a lot that of our fans would be as well.
Yeah, there we are. Right, let's make that happen. Certainly moving forwards. Onto something borrowed. Now, this is either your favourite ever loanee or player that you wish we'd signed but we never did.
Well, do you know what? I've always joked about it week on week, and say I should say Dave Tarpey, really, because he's always been linked with us for years and years and years. And
it's every not time over now, yet. Marlo, he's still playing.
I know, but he's older than me, which is saying something. So
Wickham has shown down the years that age is just a number.
That is true. That is true. Like, he's still banging in for Marlow, so why can't he bang it in at League One level? You know, I always make a comment whenever he scores and Marlow posts up a post, but Marlow gets quite annoyed by it now. They've told me so I'm restricted. But my summit borrowed is actually going to be Marcelo Trotter. I don't know if you've had him on here before, but he was unbelievable. You know, along with Eze and what have you, I think Eze was always one of those where he was never going to be a permanent player for us. I'd have loved to have had him. Trotter, though, he's gone back to Italy. He's had a semi-decent level. He could have done that for us. And I just think, you know, how much of a revelation he would have been had he continued his form with us. I mean, he was just, he was unbelievable.
He was the brilliant amalgamation. I mean, Trotter, but the way it was spelt, very Italian. Marcello, he looked Italian. He played like an Italian. But with the name Trotter, you're kind of like ingrained into British cultural sort of norms, aren't you, with a name like Trotter?
Well, you're gonna endear yourself to called like Del Boy or Rodney, aren't you, on the terraces with a surname like that, aren't you? So that would have been wonderful, but alas, it wasn't to be. And do you know what? It's weird as well that we signed a player like him in those twilight years, I call them, when we didn't really kind of have much money and we were signing some very random named players. He was the one that stuck out, so.
Wondrous TV has tried to track him down, and we did send an email to the club that he plays for in the third level. It's Serie C. In English and also in Google Translate Italian. So again, to the media guy at that club or person who opened that email, I apologise. They're probably thinking, what on earth is going on here? We never got a reply. So that's why you haven't seen Marcello Trotter. Still playing, apparently. But we'd love to get him on Wondrous TV. That'd be great, right?
Well, even better if Scott Mitchell fancies a bit of a trip to Italy on holiday in June, July, which I've heard is quite lovely. Then you never know. Bring him back from the depths and might do a job for us up front next season.
Imagine that. Well, we did find Chuck Musadic / Chuck Martini. We tracked him down. That took 6 months. So if we can find Chuck, we can find Marcello Trotter. So we'll definitely get him on at some point. Did he ever speak English? Or I guess he did, because he lived in London for a long time.
He must have done, with him being from like playing for Fulham for as long as he did. He must have learned a bit, even if it was part. I don't know.
If we may have to find an Italian speaking Wickham fan just to do the bits for us. But either way, it's going to happen.
About. about.
On to something blue. And I don't know why, Dan, but I've got great hopes for you on this question. Something blue, that's either your favourite ever piece of Wickham merchandise or idea for a piece that the club should be selling and making the club's millions in their bid to smash through the SNCP financial fair play. What's it to be?
Well, I think we've identified it's got to be Wickham branded tunics, but that's not my serious answer. I've been banging on this about this for ages. I would love a retro shirt range, whether Hummel do it or not, kind of bringing back classics, but with a slight modern twist. The striped one from the 96-97 season. We can forget about that one. The rest of them, though, I think there's a market for it. I think
absolutely
people will be up for it.
Absolutely. And this is weird, right? Because we've got some young Wickham fans, or say young, everyone's young compared to me now, in the office at Adams Park. Some of the young'uns at Adams Park who are Wickham fans as well, they love the 96 Smith horror show. They think it's got some kind of collectability, some kind of coolness about it. And I'm like, I literally won't wash my car with it.
No, you could not. It's one of those where it needs to be stuck in the annals of history and left there. I think it's one of those. But do you know what? It surprises me more so, actually. There's the shirts out there on like eBay. I think like John Cheesewright's goalkeeping kit's like worth hundreds. It's John Cheesewright. Like, who wants that? But there's a market for it. I mean, you know, the BFP reported something the other day about Jaden. I know another lad called Tom's got more, and you know, there's people with hundreds of Wickham kits. So there's got to be a market out there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think when did the squad numbers and names start? Because, like, you know, imagine like sort of people on a sort of massive bidding furor, bidding for like a David Titterton number three shirt. I mean, that could be, you know, this could happen.
I'll see. I'd be first hands on a Jermaine McSporran 15, I reckon. Did we have numbers with Jermaine McSporran? I can't remember.
I can't remember when they came in, but technically, I mean, we all know the names, so we could retrospectively add those and, you know, and just say this is this, because people have got a player they would associate with a shirt. So, I mean, the Van der Nel 94 playoff final shirt to me is the Simon Garner shirt. The one before that is like the Guppy Keith Scott, and then the one before that, the Brooks one, is Westy. So they didn't have names on the back then, but you associate a player with a shirt, I think.
Oh, of course you do. I mean, like, thing is, where do you fit Dave Carroll into that? That's the question, because Carroll 7's got to be in there somewhere. What year is that one?
Well, he went right away through all of it, you know, up to the FA Cup, didn't he? So
exactly.
Yeah, and I guess as well, and with Hummel, the danger is if Hummel make it, I mean, they were almost bordering on our current kit being retro by the time they got them in the shop. So if they are to make it, then they could really go up in value.
No, without a doubt, and rarity and scarcity as well.
Oh dear! Right, there we are, Danny. I've also got to ask you this as well, because I don't detect a Bucks accent. You've kind of alluded to the fact that you were a long way away. So your entire Wickham fandom, have you done that from afar?
No. So I'm actually, and we joke about this all on, obviously, here as a HB12 podcast as well. I'm obviously known as the Northern Delegation, but I grew up in Aylesbury for a long
north,
time.
North of Wickham as well,
Exactly, yeah. slightly too north, but I've moved about a lot, and I've been up in Yorkshire/Lincolnshire now for about 13-14 years, so I've been up here quite a while. So unfortunately, a bit of wandering accent syndrome picked up the accent, but not as bad. I used to live in Sydney in Australia back in the early 2000s, and I was there when Jermaine Easter hit that goal past Hilario in the Carling Cup semis. Woke up our neighbours at 5 a.m. so I came back with a huge Australian accent. So now and again, that slips in, but we'll forget about that. But yeah, been here, there and everywhere.
Amazing. When you were in Aylesbury, you didn't get sort of, well, obviously you didn't get enticed, but were you aware of any sort of devil MK Dons marketing trying to lure you to the to MK?
That was before my time. So that was after my time even.
Yeah.
They weren't even a thought process at that point in time, and neither should they be going forward.
I was going to say, some people say that that's still the case now. So
Exactly.
Well, Dan, it's been fascinating to hear about your love for Wickham Wanderers. The fact you've got relatives that played for the club over 100 years ago. I think you're the first person to have players who played that far back. We've had a few people whose relatives have played for the Chairboys, but I don't think they go all the way back that far. It's probably about the time Matt Bloomfield joined Wickham Wanderers, in fact.
Yeah, just about, actually. sounds about right, yeah. He's, and still amassed thousands of appearances in that time.
Incredible, Dan. Well, thank you very much. People can hear your voice among a few others as well on the Heroes of HB12, which is a great fan podcast where you can talk about the games truthfully and give all your opinions, etc., which is good. And also, the aforementioned Jack Grimmer pops up now and again.
He appeared on us just before Wembley, which was lovely of him. So he's a good lad.
Right, that's your lot for this week's show. Many thanks to Dan Clark for his time on Till Death Us Do Part. And we'll be back next week with news of our lengthy trip to Carlisle United. In the meantime, come on, you Blues.